What I'd like to speak about for a short while is the repeated exhortation in the scripture to seek the Lord. It's not a one-time thing. It's not a once-in-a-while thing. It's a continual thing to seek the Lord. And if you look at the gamut of Christian experience and seeking the Lord, you would find there are Christians who perhaps believe but never go to church. You might find there are Christians who go to church twice a year. Someone once said that he's a C&E Christian. I said, what's a C&E Christian? He had to explain it to me. Christmas and Easter. And then there are people who go and seek the Lord very intensively, very regularly in church, very regularly on their own. They're going the other end of the spectrum of those who spend time on their own to read their Bibles, spend time on their own to pray. I find that people are more likely to read a devotional or to read scripture than they are to pray, because praying is harder. But praying is probably more essential, given that we hear the word so much. But the early Christians didn't have a Bible in their home. They had the Bible read when they got together, and they would remember it, they would memorize it. They would be very thankful to hear the word, but they didn't have the Bible in their home that they could just read it whenever they wanted to. And we have many people who have Bibles in their homes that never get opened. So I'd like to encourage you to be the Christian on the end of the spectrum that seeks the Lord continually, has a deep heart to know the Lord better. And I want to look back in history. The word seek the Lord doesn't really occur in the Bible much until the time of the kings. And actually, it's not so much in 1 and 2 Kings as it is in 1 and 2 Chronicles. Those books were written after the Babylonian captivity and the people came back. And then in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, you also see a big emphasis on seeking the Lord. And they recognize that their having gone into captivity was the fruit of not seeking the Lord and actually going away from the Lord in idol worship. So I'd like to go all the way back to Genesis, if you'll turn with me. You know the story of God recreating the earth, and you have the story of the fall in Genesis 3. And we hear about Cain being punished and sent into exile for killing his brother Abel. Very sad thing that so quickly humanity goes off the rails. Sin, sorrow, death, toil, sickness. And most of chapter 4, after saying how Cain went away from the presence of the Lord, the rest of it speaks about people downstream of Cain, his descendants for a while. And then after that, finally at the end of the chapter, in 25, verse 25, Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and called his name Seth, which means appointed. For she said, God has appointed for me another child instead of Abel, for Cain slew him. And to Seth also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. And at that time, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. If you go back all the way into Genesis, before this, Adam and Eve, a lot of people have made quite a big thing about that when the Lord came in the evening after they had sinned, they hid from him, and rightly so. And people have extrapolated from that that Adam and Eve had a habit of walking with the Lord every evening. We don't know that's true. We know that after they sinned, they didn't want to be in God's presence. They were ashamed. They had a sense of nakedness. And the Lord asked them questions and got to the bottom of the situation. And there were consequences. And they were banished from the garden. We're not told anything about Adam ever repenting. Some people say he did. We're just not told. We know that God reproved him, but we don't know how Adam took it. What we do know is that Eve, when she had Cain, which means gotten, she says that the name Cain, she says, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. So Eve attributed Cain being born as a help from the Lord. So I believe Eve had a relationship with the Lord. And it says that he had a brother named Abel. And then we see that when she had a son named Seth, she said, God has appointed him because Abel was killed. And then we see an expansion, chapter 5, of the descendants of Seth. And it said about Seth and his son Enosh, at that time men began to call upon the name of the Lord. We're not told why, but we suspect that trouble was increasing in the earth. And so men began to call on the name of the Lord. And when we read down through these people, we come down finally to Noah, who was a righteous man and used to save humanity from that flood. And we're told in the New Testament that Noah was a preacher of righteousness and that he served the Lord. You know, he wasn't perfect. After the flood was over, he got drunk. So there were things, these were not perfect people. There are no perfect people. But the Lord wants us to be people who seek him. I want to ask you, how can you seek the Lord? Well, the obvious one that most evangelical Christians would say is, I should go to church every Sunday. And having done that, many Christians are satisfied. In a good church, you're told that you should give us this day our daily bread. So you should read the word daily and take it to heart, and that you should pray. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. But also, we see the example of our Lord that Jesus would go and be alone with his Father, and he would pray. So when we meet Christians who are doing those other things on their own, there's a deeper level of seeking the Lord than just going to church. Part of going to church is that people are watching, and you want to be judged as being faithful. So we're always more spiritual when we have a good audience. And what are you like when you're alone? Do you seek the Lord? And may the Lord help us to seek him. That's what we're doing right now. This retreat is a time to seek the Lord. We're giving God more time, and we want to hear what he would have to say to us. We would like to respond to what he says to us and have a deeper commitment. Now, history unfolds through the Old Testament. We come through the time of Abraham. Isaac, Jacob, we come through Joseph going down into Egypt and the Israelites being there 400 years, and much of that 400 years was slaves, because a new Pharaoh arose who didn't know Joseph. Joseph was certainly a man who sought God. We see tremendous testimony of Joseph's life. And then we see that God sends Moses back to set his people free. And the testimony of Moses is that he hears God speak to him out of a burning bush. And God says, go back, and Moses doesn't want to go. But he does go, and he leads the people out of slavery, and they come to Mount Sinai. And there God says, go up on the mountain, and he seeks the Lord. He's 40 days and 40 nights fasting and alone with God. He comes down, he's glowing, he has the tables of the law, and yet the people have fallen away into idolatry already. And he goes back up on the mountain, and we see that Moses seeks the Lord. He's not a perfect leader, but he leads Israel for 40 years. And then God takes him home, and Joshua is the next leader. And Joshua is a faithful man of God, not perfect, but a man who loved the Lord and sought the Lord. He was told early on, seek the Lord. Joshua chapter 1, he says, this book of the law will not depart out of your mouth, but you will meditate on it day and night, and it will give you success. And we see that Joshua is a man who loved to spend time in the presence of God. You see the two different examples. You see the examples of the ones who were seeking God with all their heart and how they were a blessing. And we see those who really haven't given their heart fully. They've given partially. And I want to encourage us to be those who seek the Lord with all our heart. Now, part of the reason that people called on the Lord in the days of Noah and the days of Seth is the world was having trouble. And this has been seen down through the ages ever since, that there's times when things are going better because people are following the Lord. And there are times where things are going worse. We see God sending judgment and people repenting. And we're in time. We live in a time right now where there are some people coming to the Lord and there are some people giving themselves to wickedness. And we want to seek the Lord for our age. We want to seek the Lord for ourselves, but also for the people around us, for revival to come. The last example I'd like to give you is from the time of the kings before I turn it over to Bill. In 2 Chronicles, we read about in chapter 7 that Solomon dedicated the temple to the Lord. And in verse 11 it says, thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house. Everything was successfully accomplished. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon in the night and said to him, I have heard your prayer, and I have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up the heavens so there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people. Why would God do that? Why would he do these negative things? Because the people have turned away from him. It's man's nature to wander away. All we like sheep have gone astray. And here's the verse that we know so well. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Part of seeking the Lord is to humble ourselves, is to say, Lord, we need you. Come. We need you so much. Lord, it's to pray and seek him and then repent as God shows us wicked ways to repent of. Now my ears will be open, my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. So God is listening to those who pray. And the last thing I'd like to turn to is chapter 14, same book, 2 Chronicles. We see that Israel is now split, and we're into the lives of the kings. So I would like to encourage you to read the chapters 13, 14, and 15, which are the story of Abijah, who served the Lord, and then Asa, his son, who served the Lord. And Asa was used to remove the high places, and he took courage and sought the Lord, and he had a tremendous effect on his country. So may we have this same devotion to the Lord. We're not living for ourselves. We're living for Jesus. And we want to see him glorified and people turn to him. May the Lord bless us and bless this retreat. Amen.